Today, we want to look at the second part of habits management. And we're looking at the crucial role of consistency in life. I'll show you a graph. Some of you have seen it online. I want us to know the difference between motivation and consistency. It's very important, crucially important, to know the difference between these two. I want to distinguish these two, and then we read the scripture. The scripture which will form the basis of what we're talking about today. There's what is known as motivation. What is to be motivated? To be motivated is to hear something powerful, something interesting, something inspiring. And oh, you say, wow, that was a powerful statement. And you know, when you hear it, maybe you've heard something which talks about the importance of exercising. And oh, you feel motivated. I really need to start doing exercises. Or maybe someone has given a motivational speech about the importance of studying, how to effectively study, and why you need to get good grades. And oh, you feel excited, and so you feel motivated to make a timetable and to start studying seriously. What has happened to you? You've been motivated. What is to be motivated? To be encouraged, to get excited, to start doing something because you've seen the value in that, and so you are excited and you feel, no, now I can change. I can start doing this thing in a positive way. That is motivation. Motivation is an excitement. Motivation is that push which tells you, you can do it. What that man was talking is true. It will make a difference. And oh my, you feel at the one time you feel bad why you haven't been doing that, and you also feel the excitement of, I can do it. I need to start doing it. That is excitement. Oh, there's a new musical instrument you need to learn. Maybe you want to learn how to play a saxophone. You've seen someone play it so nicely, and you say, well, I can also become a powerful saxophone player. And so the following day, early in the morning, 6 o'clock, whilst everyone is asleep, you've started practicing. Why? You were motivated by what you saw yesterday. And somehow you feel, I can do it. What do we call that? Motivation. Christabel. It's called what? Motivation. That's motivation. Excitement. It's a surge in energy and excitement. Or maybe you've heard a powerful preaching. The preaching talks about you need to be prayerful, you need to be reading the Bible, you need to be evangelizing, and oh my, you hear that? The following day you pick your Bible and you are in the field witnessing and evangelizing. Why? You have been motivated. So motivation is a surge, a sudden surge of energy which has occurred because of an inspiring or an inspirational words you've heard. But can I ask you, how many have ever experienced motivation before? You heard something and it motivated you. How many ever experienced that? Christian, you've never been motivated. You heard something and you felt like, I need to do that. Thank you. Brother Abraham, you've been motivated before, isn't it? Yeah. You get motivated. But can I ask the second question? How many can say the motivation only stayed for a short while? It didn't. I didn't push on to continue on that path. Anyone who's ever experienced that? Where you didn't go on with the motivation. Yep. I've gone through that too. That's the problem of motivation. Motivation has a short lifespan. Someone produced it in the on a graph like this. This is how motivation is. Motivation, usually its graph is like this. You hear something, you start doing something. So that's the graph for motivation. Motivation, you hear something powerful, exciting, and you start performing action. This represents action. Action. People say, when I ambush the exercise, every morning, they even see someone is doing that. At home, they even get surprised. Someone has started doing push-ups. But you know what? He just does it for 3 days. Whoa! Until it becomes a straight line, no activity. Problem of motivation. But here's something. Motivation is good if you have this thing called consistency. You know what consistency means? Consistency means you are able to commit to an activity regardless whether you are in the mood or you are not in the mood, but you know it's on the schedule. I need to do this activity. I don't have to feel good about it, but it's a commitment. I need to do it. And you don't have to do it in a big measure. It can be in small measures, but you know, every 8 hours or every 6 o'clock, I need to jog around for 10 minutes. Every 6 o'clock, you do it. First day, second day, third day, 1 week, still do it. 2 weeks, still doing it. 3 weeks, still doing it. A month, a year. That's a consistent person. So you know how a consistent graph, people have shown it? They've shown it like this. This is consistency. This is motivation. Which graph do you like there? The motivation graph or the consistency graph? Which graph produces a change in life? You raise your hand here. Which graph produces results in life? Which graph here produces people who say, there is a change we are seeing in that person? Which graph between the two? Kristen? This one, right? Joshua, which graph produces results there? Explain why this is producing results and not that.
To start with, what is consistency? This is doing something every time without being reminded. So when with consistency, it's supposed to produce results. Meaning, let's say, for example, me, if I'm practicing a keyboard and I'm consistent with always finding new keys and I'm exploring more, I'll eventually become better. But with motivation, it's more like you just see someone do it, but eventually there's always going to be that thing where it would die out motivation without you even taking action upon it.
Okay, thank you. He mentions a very important point. With motivation, the desire and the hunger will die out afterwards. Is that true? Hello? That's true. Now, let me tell you a story. It's a real story which happened. I get this story from this book. These are not cheap books, by the way. They're not cheap books, and that is why I don't lend them out. In Africa, we have one good habit. We borrow a book, and the owner has to remind you to return it. Amen, Brother Teddy. That's not good. You know, a long time ago, when I read a book and I love it, I would tell someone, hey, you need to read it. I would give it to them. Read this and return it to me later on. I ended up losing a lot of books through that, but I've become wiser now. Now, let me share this story, and I hope you are ready, because I'll ask questions out of this story. This happened in the late 1990s? It's a story of a professor Stephen Luby. This man is a specialist in public health. When we talk about public health, we're talking about things that can affect our health in the way we live in our community, in the way we manage the water systems, the sewer systems, the way our drainages are, what diseases can develop if things are not managed properly. Those are things, I believe, which I focus of public health. Now, this man is a professor and very passionate about the work he does. You can imagine he was in Nebraska living a comfortable life, but he believes we need to take these medical programs to countries or places where people are poor, people can't afford certain things, places which are in need. And so he lives a very comfortable, luxurious life, and he goes to Pakistan. At that time in Pakistan, there was an epidemic, a public health emergency. People were getting sick, dying of diarrhea. Let me just read this portion so that you appreciate what we're talking about. And now, as he begins by describing how this area in Karachi, in Pakistan, how dirty it was and all that. And I want to ask you if it doesn't resemble with many of places here in Zambia. Not all the places, but a number of them. So this is on page 183 in Atomic Habits. Over 60% of Karachi's residents lived in squatter settlements and slums. These densely packed neighborhoods were filled with makeshift houses. You know makeshift houses? You just make some temporary housing structures. Yamasaka, Mauzu, you know there are places like that, even in India. In Pakistan, there are places like that. These densely packed neighborhoods were filled with makeshift houses cobbled together from old boards, cinder blocks, and other discarded materials. There was no waste removal system, meaning no toilet system, which carries this dirty water from one place to another, no running water or anything like that. There was no waste removal system, no electricity grid, no clean water supply. When dry, the streets were a combination of dust and trash. Does that sound familiar? When wet, they became a muddy pit of sewage. Have you ever gone through Mumbwa Road, somewhere near, what do you call that place? Near Lumumba. Brother Teddy, you've seen that stagnant water? It smells good, right? Have you ever seen how the top layer of that water looks like? It looks like it's a floor and it's hard, but actually that's all a rubble of all this filth. It's even hardened. When you are driving around there, you have to close your windows. But do you know there is something I remember reading? It's called City Council. Lusaka City Council. You know, that is in existence. You know, among its works is for us, at no time should we ever have a situation like that. Now, do you know that where that rubbish is, all that filth, a conglomeration of germs and whatever parasites you could ever mention in your vocabulary, I believe it has found residence there. Do you know that running beneath the pipes there is water? You know there's a tank system there that supplies the CBD? How often do we maintain our pipe work? Obviously, certain pipes have leakages. That should be common, right? If any of that dirt find its way in there, what happens? Do you remember when we had a cholera outbreak? We had to go to the Heroes Stadium. That's why they were taking patients now. Cholera, cholera, cholera. The government had to release the army, not police officers. Police officers couldn't manage it. They released the army to chase people from the streets, to stop selling in the streets, to try to clean up. When they find any person, they'll just tell you, start picking litter and all that. How is it that suddenly, when there's an epidemic, we suddenly become health conscious? We suddenly become committed to releasing the army on the streets. All vendors get chased by force to contain a cholera epidemic. And you remember one time, people started dying in record numbers on a given day. What did the president declare? National Day of Prayer. Let us go pray and fast. This cholera, Lord, deliver us from cholera. Really? Really? When God looks down and see the children of Ham, as it were, do you really think these children are going about it the right way? Does that require supernatural intervention? Brother Abraham, do we need a miracle from God to take away cholera? In fasting, in tradition, maybe we needed to fast 7 days. We didn't pray enough. Is that the way to go about it? Certainly, there's something wrong with us. Whatever we were experiencing is what Pakistan was experiencing, which James Clear is talking about here in this book. He says, there was no waste removal system, no electricity grid, no clean water supply. When dry, the streets were a combination of dust and trash. You know where the trash comes from? Every time I'm driving, I always get upset seeing people throw things from their windows. This one is eating a biscuit, he's done, he throws it off the window. And it's a culture, it's no more in Zambia. Some of you, you do that. You do that? Brother, you need deliverance. You don't do that. You know, for me, it's become a habit. No matter how dirty a place where I am is, even if I've seen there's litter all over, when I'm done eating a banana, I'm always conflicted. I can't drop it here. Yes, everyone is doing it, but I just refuse to be part of the statistics of people who are doing that. I'll put that thing in my bag or anywhere. I'll try to find where a dustbin is. If I don't find it, I'll come and throw it home. I'm not trying to be radical or what would you call extremist, but it angers me so much, I always fail to do it. I remember one time when Brother Nzima was not yet a convert to this thing I'm talking about. I think we were eating this time. I can't remember whether we were eating. I can't remember that. Some biscuit or something. When we're done eating, the brother just said, "Brother, you're doing that?" He said, "Abusa, it's natural." I don't know what term he used. He says, "It's organic something." I said, "No, there's no crop here for you to say that is fertilizer. That is dirty, brother." I knew the thought shook him. But you know what? I was happy. Later on, Brother Nzima is among the people who is very upset when he sees you do that. So, your positive behavior can teach someone something, right? And another person, because Brother Nzima won't allow you to do that. He sees you do that. But I want to tell you, there was a time it's me who was telling him, "Brother, why did you do that? Don't throw things like that." Another time again, I told a certain gentleman, he said, you can't be throwing litter like that. And he told me, "But look, the place is already dirty." That doesn't give you a license to be also part of the people doing it. You can at least show positive behavior to someone to say, yeah, the place is already dirty because everyone continues doing this. But you know what? We can break that cycle. Let's pick these and throw them in the right place. I think it was it the last World Cup? I'm not a fan of soccer anyway, but it made headlines. Uncle Ben, which World Cup was that? Where the Japanese were seen picking litter. Do you remember that? There was that story. You remember? In what? Qatar, yes. You know, when the games are over, people just throw things around because there is someone who is going to clean. That's the African mentality. Foolish mentality. And the stadium was dirty. But you know what? Something went on the news. Do you know what was on the news? Japanese. Even if everyone is doing it, when the event is over, the Japanese people, without being told, they started picking litter, even litter thrown by other people. You know what causes that? It's the culture where they come from. Even when they enter a new environment, they don't care if everyone does it. They can't participate in the foolish behavior. I think that is positive. I think that's the way to do it. Is that correct? Now, look here. Let's continue reading the story. When dry, the streets were a combination of dust and trash. When wet, they became a muddy pit of sewage. Mosquito colonies thrived in pools of stagnant water, and children played among the garbage. Sounds like Kalingalinga, doesn't it? Or Kalikiliki. Huh? Kanyama. The last rain season, you remember it flooded, right? Hey, there are places in Kanyama where places flooded. The other time I was driving and I saw children undress and then they dive into the water. Now, these are compounds with pit latrines, and the water so flooded that even pit latrines were covered. And then someone dives in there. The next thing, a child is admitted. Tipembagoma pempero abusa. Abusa, the Pentecostal preacher goes there to pray, to cast out the demon of dysentery and demon of cholera. That's the wrong method. There is another way to cast out that demon. It's called knowledge, educating people, doing things right. Is that so? Now, you know, this is Karachi we are reading about, and this led to an explosion of a public health emergency. People were getting sick. People were dying in Pakistan. And that is what made Stephen Luby saying, I volunteer to go and work in Pakistan. A professor, a doctor. Says there has to be a way for us to get rid of this problem. Now, you see, when there's an outbreak of cholera, you know the first thing the African politician does? He goes on a campaign. You know what to request for? To request for aid from America. Oh, I'm really sure. You know, we need help. We pass on the begging bowl. Our people are dying of cholera. Help us. Help we, the needy. Help we, poor Africa. Some even take it to the extremes. You know, we were once colonized, and you even bring in Pan-Africanism in it, and that's why we need help. Nonsense. And you know, when we had a cholera problem, we started asking for the cholera vaccine. You know what a vaccine does? Honestly, do we need a vaccine for cholera? Huh? Because cholera is a preventable thing. It's a preventable thing. 100% preventable. By buying drugs? As simple as that. Cleaning your places. Putting up better drainage systems. But let's see what happened in Karachi. The unsanitary conditions led to widespread illness and disease. Contaminated water sources caused epidemics of diarrhea, vomiting, and abdominal pain. Nearly one-third of the children living there were malnourished. With so many people crammed into such a small space, viruses and bacterial infections spread rapidly. Do you know that bacteria thrives where there's lack of cleanliness? Do you know that? Huh? Let me tell you what happens in some homes. Maybe some of you it happens in your homes. After eating, you eat, you take your plate. You put it in the sink for someone to clean. Another person eats, throws it in the thing. This is at night. And then the plates pile up like that. Tell me what that condition will create. The brown jacket cockroaches come out. Why? They also want to have their meal time. Right? You touch his hands on that food when you are not aware. You eat that thing and you get sick. And you say, we are calling for prayer. Are we really being wise? Are we really being wise? Do you know that if you are living in a home and each person after eating, instead of dropping the plate in the sink, they take a little initiative. It only takes less than 30 seconds to quickly clean and rinse and put it in its right place. Do you know that will reduce work for your mother? It will reduce work for your sisters at home. It will reduce more than half of the work in the home. Did you know that? Girls, is it true? Comfort. How many here, after eating, you dump things in the sink or whatever they keep plates? Just be honest, you are a child of God. How many do that? How many do that? Mm-hmm. How many say, I think I'm learning, it's not a right habit? I've traveled and I've seen it in first world nations. You eat, you rinse, even as a man in the home. And the sink always looks clean. They're able to do that. In Africa, you can be staying 8 at home. And everyone after eating, they don't bother to clean what they're using. And we call it, ni mwambo, mkazi ndeafa niko kilina. Mwambo opusa weo. Do you agree with me it's a wrong tradition? Because that girl who is coming from school needs to read and study as well. True or not? Now look, this situation in Karachi, it led to all these terrible sicknesses. It was on the news. Public health emergency. In Pakistan, people are sick of diarrhea. Children are malnourished. There are all these viruses and diseases. And you know, when we hear these big words like public health emergency, epidemic, because the words are big, we think the solutions also should be big. We need to go to the UN, WHO. Our people are dying. It even becomes a campaign message. It's not right. When Professor Stephen Luby saw that, he bought a one-way ticket, relocating from Nebraska. Says, I'll go to Pakistan. You know what? He didn't go with What medicine formula do we need to stop the diarrhea? That's not what he went there with. Let me read the story. Luby and his team realized that in an environment with poor sanitation, the simple habit of washing your hands could make a real difference. You know what Luby took there? Washing hands! But then they were asking themselves, but really, do these people not know how to wash hands? You know the bigger surprise? When they went there to interview people, ask them questions, you know what they realized? People actually knew what to do, but they were not doing it. Listen to this. Luby and his team realized that in an environment with poor sanitation, the simple habit of washing your hands could make a real difference in the health of the residents. But they soon discovered that many people were already aware that hand washing was important. Do you know about washing hands? Yes, I know. Did you wash? Yes, I did. See, these people know about this solution we are trying to introduce them to. But listen, they said, science never lies. If you wash your hands, germs have to come off your hands, and you are not supposed to be sick. So they said, but then, what is the problem? These people know about washing hands. All of them, we ask them, they say they do wash hands, and they know why it's important. Obviously, some of them were saying, these bazungos, they're always people with that attitude. When you're trying to correct them, they take annoyance. They feel they always have an attitude. So Manja advises the same way, say stick Ganeza. He thinks we haven't been thinking about the solution. How many know that's usually our mentality? That's usually our mentality, right? Someone comes to introduce something which can help you, but you feel, you know, I've tried this, it doesn't work. Listen to me. God created this world with laws and principles. If those laws are not followed, or you think you are following them, but you are not seeing results, just do an audit of yourself. There's something you are not doing right. Correct? So, Luby says, okay, let us observe. These people say they know what they're doing. They know what we're talking about. But let's observe. How do they do it? How do they do it? Because science doesn't lie. So let's observe. How do they do it? Listen to this. And yet, despite this knowledge, many residents were washing their hands in a haphazard fashion. How many know what it means to do something haphazardly? Let's learn this English word. Swangi, you can go at school on Monday and boast that you know this word, haphazard. Or maybe you already know what it means. Can we say this word? Huh? I'm hearing the Bembas say up Assad, because Bembas don't have H. Here they call it air. Let's say the word again. Haphazard. Say it. Haphazard. Again. Haphazard. What does haphazard mean? Haphazard means doing something kuvichitira mochabe, not paying attention or kufaka kwa zero. It means you are doing it haphazardly. Have you ever seen someone, you tell him, can you sweep this place? And they sweep haphazardly. Watenga kapiango. Umkawaona, waone kangatu wasewenza, kangatu wapianga. Even sweating. When you go back to check how they are sweeping, you try to do this, you find there's dirt. You try to go in corners, you find there are cobwebs. But the person says, I sweep. You know, doing something haphazardly means doing it without paying attention to detail. Doing something haphazardly means doing it without a methodical approach. You are doing it because I need to do it and someone needs to see that I have done it. So when Professor Stephen Luby with his team started observing, you know how people were doing it? When it's time to eat, you just go kutap. You start eating. Professor Stephen says, people were not really washing hands. When you read, he says others actually, when they tenga chabe manja, ashtachabe so. They start eating. Then they said, aha, that's where the problem is. They think they are cleaning hands, but they're doing nothing. So now, Luby and his team, I said, okay, let's start teaching people how to wash hands. Do you know even here in Zambia, they started teaching when cholera and COVID came? You've seen those pictures. They would say, at least spend 10 seconds. How many have seen that poster? There were even TV adverts. Umumwanse ni kukirina, wapanga na tumanyimbo. Kuponsi saa isa wakuru ka? Wash, wash, wash hands. At least five. Imu. Watipangile kanyimbo kututisiwe kusuka kumanja. But that's what happens when people are not responsible. You have to produce an advert for them. To say, clean here, clean here. Now, that's not just like a song. It's been scientifically proved. When your hands are dirty, these are spots where germs stay. And you always need to use a soap with it, right? Yeah. So, look now what happened. Everyone said hand washing was important, but few people made a habit out of it. The problem wasn't knowledge. The problem was consistency. That's a very powerful statement. Can we say it together? The problem wasn't... The problem was... Let's say it together, all of us together. The problem wasn't... Can I please hear your voice? The problem wasn't... What was the problem? The problem... You know what they discovered? Why they said consistency was the problem? Some people were taught, this is how you wash. First day they did it. Second day they did it. Third day, wabwelera. You just, nasamba. They started it first, second, third day. Then they got tired of it. Ah, kusamba manja 10 seconds. No. Consistency was lacking. So now they put a lot of effort now to make people consistent, to make people consistent, to make people consistent. Do you know what happened? 2 months. Diarrhea cases started reducing. Nimuzungu yo, rush to record my numbers. They're trying to see if this activity is producing results. So they were observing. When others stopped, they even started buying them nice scented soaps. Others started now washing consistently because of a nice scent. Can you imagine someone begging you to do the right thing for your own benefit? It's not a right attitude. It's foolishness. Correct? Now, listen to the results. Within months, the researchers saw a rapid, not a slow one, a rapid, suddenly diseases started closing down. Within months, the researchers saw a rapid shift in the health of children in the neighborhood. The rate of diarrhea fell by 52%, meaning if 100 people were getting sick, the number reduced to 50. That's a remarkable result, right? The rate of diarrhea fell by 52%, pneumonia by 48%, and impetigo, a bacterial skin infection, by 35%. That's the story of Pakistan, which I believe is also the story of Africa, Zambia in particular. It was recently, we came from a cholera epidemic. Cholera killed a lot of our people. People were being taken to Heroes Stadium. Our leaders were calling for national prayer. And I thought, this is not right. People who don't believe in God, they laugh at us when we do things like that. Because there are many problems which can simply be solved by the way you manage your habits. What do we learn from this story? I'll share the following lessons with you. Let us go to Proverbs chapter 8. Before we read the scripture, can I ask, what interesting things have you learned about? Do you find the story interesting, the Karachi, Pakistan story? Do you find it interesting? Yes. Tell me one strange or interesting thing you've learned about the Pakistan story. Brother Jason.
The statement that said the problem is not the knowledge, but the consistency.
Consistency. Problem is not the knowledge. Problem is not that people did not know what to do. The problem was consistency. How many believe that there are many things we know, but the challenge is we are not consistent at what we know? True, right? What other thing do you learn from the Pakistan story and Professor Luby? What interesting thing do you find? You know one interesting thing I find? They didn't use a single expensive medicine. They used a thing which people already knew, but doing it properly. Uncle Ben, you wanted to say something?
I wanted to say habits.
About habits? Yes, say something about habits.
For the people, they had the bad habit of not washing hands.
Yeah?
It was one of the major causes of the diseases.
Now, Uncle Ben is talking about a bad habit of lack of hygiene. And the bad habit is what did what? Caused problems, which even made headlines. A thing which was preventable. It made headlines. Any other interesting thing from the story? Any other interesting thing you've heard about the story? I'll share you some interesting things. Things we can learn about this story. Number one, herd mentality. Do you know what that word means, herd? You've heard of herd mentality. What is the meaning of this? Siu Siso. What is Siu Siso? What is a herd? H-E-R-D. Which things? Cows, cattle, right? You know how these cows behave when they're in a group? Gativingombe, Viendamgur. It's not like they know which journey they are on, or they have a program to say we are heading that direction. Gativirikusogoro, Vapezamwala, then Vatening. You know what will happen? What will happen? All of them, you follow the herd. You follow what the group is doing. Oh, here 8 to 10. In psychology, we call that herd mentality. When everyone is doing something, even something which is stupid, but because everyone does it, and so everyone follows doing that thing, you call that herd mentality. It can still be a positive thing. Well, oh, because everyone does it, let's also do it. Herd mentality. Behaviors, habits we adopt because it's a group habit. Now, this becomes dangerous if we are dealing with a wrong habit. I want each and every person here, give me an example of a habit we adopt because everyone does it. And so we feel it's the normal way of doing things. Even when you personally, you feel it's not supposed to be this way. Can you give me an example? Herd mentality. Habits. Yes?
Drinking water immediately after eating food.
Okay. Maybe. I want you to give me social examples, social behavioral things. Yes? Justice? Sorry? Yeah. That's a herd mentality in Zambia. Even when you know the bean is here, Kairi Uyu, when he eats, you just tear this snack, you throw the plastic. Do you know that there will be situations where there is a dustbin, but people throw things on the floor? Have you ever seen that? You've seen that? I've seen it many times. Someone sees there's a bin. He's even playing basketball. Ooh. Then he doesn't phone in. Chaponera up. He continues doing other things. To him, it's not a bin. It was something to try basketball on. And when everyone gets used with that, it becomes a norm. Well, if you are demo minute, I mean it's Africa. African time. You've heard of African time? Have you heard of African time? What is African time? What do we mean when you say African time or Zambian time? What does it mean? When you hear that sentence, what comes to your mind? What is Zambian time? Is it the same time the whole world uses? What is Zambian time? Suwange.
It's the time that people here in Zambia use. It's
what kind of time is that?
They are usually late and stuff.
Usually
like that.
Late. Yeah. That is Zambian time. Zambian time says the youth conference starts at 9. The youth conference starts at what? 9. Tell Arisha, to you, how did your mind translate it? Can you convert that to Zambian time? What time did you come?
I came at 10:18.
10:18. That is Zambian time. Youth conference starts at 9. You came late. What time did you come?
10:30.
So that's Zambian time, right?
Yes.
Youth conference starts at 9. Comfort, what time did you come?
10:50.
You see, Zambian time is very precise, even in minutes. And you know what is interesting about Zambian time? Nimamene wa imbelela. Conference starts at 9 hours. It came at 9:30, 10, whatever, 10:50. The beauty with Zambian time, I don't know that it's beauty, I'm being sarcastic here. It's what each one feels like. So if the time is 9 hours, I think me, I'll be there at 10:30, Zambian time. I think I'll be there at 11 hours, Zambian time. The only problem, this time is not known anywhere in heaven. Rather, in the world. But I think I'll still be correct if I say even the heavens don't recognize it. Right? When God established time, there's a reason for that. Is that so? And you know what? We've accepted it. So, meeting is Amber Bunch. Okay, mukambe 9 hours. Chifuwa. Mukambe 10 hours. Yamene. Wandwazabwela 11. And including the person speaking that, he will also come late. So he is speaking on behalf of fellow Zambians. Listen to me, young people. My generation has been destroyed by Zambian time. Don't let your generation be destroyed. It's not right. Number two, you can change it to say, let us do things in a normal way. You are still young and you have an opportunity to change that narrative. When someone says Zambian time, you ask them back, what nonsense is that? Because it shouldn't make us happy, it shouldn't make us smile, it shouldn't make us laugh. We are out of sync with the whole world. Do you feel angered by what I speak, or you feel it is true and we need to change this habit? It is true, right? The first time I went to Singapore, Brother Gunn told me we meet at this particular spot. We needed to meet at, I think that was 9 hours. Said 9 hours, Brother Andrew, we meet here. So yeah. You know what time I was there? I was there at 9:10. And to me, I had kept time. I thought he would be very proud of me for keeping time. You should have seen his face. He says, what happened? I was the one surprised. He says, what do you mean? What happened? He says, check the time. I say, yeah. And I answered back, I said, yeah, I'm in time. He says, no, you are not. You are 10 minutes late. I realized I'm in a different country. In Zambia? You say a conference will start at 9 hours and you come at 9:10. You deserve a standing ovation. That is true, isn't it? You see, when you do things in an abnormal way, and you continue with the abnormality, the person who does it the normal way looks like he's the one who is abnormal. Do you know that? when an abnormal thing is done over and over and over again. Imagine one day, like the way you came late, most of you, then you just came and I told you, and you found 2-3 people here, and then I said, oh, the meeting is over. And then that's when of you arriving. You know, a lot of you go back offended to say, you know, we're just late for 30 minutes, or we just came an hour late. It's only in Zambia where we say, I was just late for an hour. An hour? And you say, just for an hour? That's abnormal. That's abnormal. But look here. You know, this thing we call Zambian time, it's part of herd mentality. Everyone does it, so we grow up doing the same thing. That's what happened in Pakistan. Everyone, when washing hands, it was just briskly done. And then it became normal. And then everyone does it. Even the children begin to do it. Before you realize it, diarrhea came. Dysentery came. Pneumonia came. All these ugly conglomeration of germs, they started attacking people. And people were getting sick. People were dying. Not because they were poor people, no. But because of a bad habit which became contagious and everyone had it, until everyone can't even know why are we sick. But the answer is right in the way you do things.